in-office studios of his eye care practices in Nashville, Tennessee. It's As I See It with Dr. Jeff Kegaris, your source for eye care education and receiving the type of patient relationship you deserve. It is time for a patient revolution. And now, your host, Dr. Jeff Kegaris.
You hear leaders talk about mission and vision a lot. Those we believe are important. Yet to make them live, we as clinical and business leaders need to operationalize them and make them a part of everyday decision making. Thus, we introduce the concept of a hierarchy of service delivery. It's really borrowed from Disney, and when taught and trained, it gives people help in their daily activities to determine what we feel is important. That's called alignment, when the staff acts like the owner wants. David, welcome today to talk a little bit about how we run the office in Cool Springs and Donelson.
Thanks for having me.
You're always here. What do you mean, having you? So what do you want to talk about a little more as we drill down on this?
Well, Jeff, I'm going to start by asking you to talk. You talk frequently about alignment. Why is it so important?
I think because alignment really means that what the doctor wants, as we said in the introduction, or the business leader wants, is also demonstrated by the team or by the staff, even some of the other doctors, if you will. The reality is we spend a whole lot of time away from our staff. We expect, we want them to act on our behalf in the way that we would want them to act. We spend a lot of time training. To the extent that they do, we feel really good. The practice is represented well. My image, my reputation is enhanced by us all acting consistently. And that is really what alignment's all about. Alignment is really us making sure that we're operationalizing the mission and the vision and the beliefs and behaviors that we have without having to be standing over their shoulder saying, this is what I want you to say. And that's really what alignment is. It, quite frankly, gives the business manager and business owner a sense of peace, a sense of comfort that, yes, we're acting the way that I want, we want.
So what is our hierarchy of service delivery?
Well, we break it down into something pretty simple. And you would think that because we stress service all the time, that the most important thing for us is the patient experience. But I would tell you that that's wrong. The most important thing, the foundation of our service hierarchy, is safety. Safety's at the bottom. The next step is courtesy. The next step is patient experience. And the final step is efficiency. So in our order of priority, we want to start from the bottom and move up.
And this concept may seem esoteric if not used a lot, but we're definitely living it now during Corona times, aren't we?
I think that that's right, in that you're right. We talk about this and people nod their heads. And when we train on it, we will say, see, we are trying to help you in decision making. In general, this is the stepwise process that you should go through. You have it in your mind. Safety, courtesy, patient experience, efficiency. So for the most part, we as a relationship-based business are going to err on the side of making sure that we never fail to provide a safe work environment. People say, boy, you and your staff were courteous. Wow, what a great experience I had. And it was efficient. But not in the reverse order. We know that there are some patients on a short-term basis that we have to know. For them, an experience that is great is I was in and out pretty quickly. I'm very time-oriented, get me in, get me out. But not at the expense for us of providing them a great experience that also was courteous and safe. So if they say, I don't care about you sterilizing things, just do it fast, sorry. And the staff member says, no, we're not going to do that. And that may be an absurd example. But us saying, staff member, if you chose to act in concert with our service hierarchy on an ongoing regular basis, you're always going to err on safety first, then courteous, then patient experience, then efficiency. There are going to be some times when we fine-tune that. And for this patient, efficiency was more important, maybe equal to the experience, because that helped enhance their experience. But in general, We're not running an office where we're trying to get you in and out in 6 minutes. That, for our culture, is not the priority. And so we stress that service hierarchy because it helps us to say, how did you make that decision? And did you make it based upon understanding what are the most important, or what is the most important step, prioritization in our hierarchy? So you're right. With Corona, at this point, we do training on this, and people go, yeah, that safety's important. We sometimes have to remind them how we build safety into a particular visit, right? No sharp corners, help them up out of the chair, help them in a chair, bring the walker to them, hold our arm out, a lot of those type of things that are providing safety. But now we have a whole different set of standards. We have, in a COVID-19 outbreak, safety has now become everybody's main focus, which forces you to refocus on, okay, all these things are great, but are we doing this safely? And safety becomes very paramount. Pretty soon, at some point, we'll get past that, and we'll have to be reminding people again, hey, safety's the first thing. I know that the guidelines have been, you know, let down some, but we still have to maintain safety all the time. That's a business leader's responsibility to always be looking at that and then helping to reinforce that in their staff. So I think it's very visible right now. Wouldn't you agree on the safety side?
I agree. Everywhere we go, you're reminded and highlighted about how Starbucks is performing, how Costco measures are constantly changing and evolving as with the CDC guidelines. And as we've been temporarily closed and only seen emergency patients, we're planning on how is eye care going to look when we reopen to routine exams? How are we going to keep safety in mind first to be able to see the patient safely while giving them the experience they want in an efficient manner? So it's highlighted now because we're changing a process that we've been evolving for 20 years.
That's right. And we're having a lot of those discussions, aren't we? Where it requires some thought, some role playing. Well, what if this happens? Don't you want this test? Well, yes, I do. But that would mean that you would be in contact with the patient for 15 minutes. And we're trying to set a goal of less than 10 minutes because we're erring on the side of safety. We're not doing that just for efficiency, but we're trying to build the safety factor in to the care. And yet, the real interesting thing is going to be, how do we maintain, if you're a relationship-based business and you say, we should win every time based upon the courtesy, the service, the experience that patient has, well, now you're forced into a situation of trying to have to be a lot more efficient for safety reasons. How do you still build in that where patients leave and they go, what a great experience? That's going to be a finesse.
That's the challenge.
Mm-hmm. And maybe more of a challenge, wouldn't you say, for relationship-based businesses. If I always said, I want people in and out in 10 minutes, then keeping people in and out with 10 minutes is like, hey, business as usual. But most of us running optometric and physician practices, we base our reputation on the relationship we have. That's our stake in the ground. So, yeah, it doesn't mean it can't exist. And it doesn't mean we have to change our business model. It just means, okay, we have to think harder on how do we maintain, what things are so important about that patient experience we're not going to skimp on, and we're going to make sure that they're built in, even though we may have a limited amount of time with each particular staff member, right?
Just having that relationship in maybe a slightly different manner, or maybe what used to be us lounging, talking to a patient in a small room about our kids for 15 minutes might happen in a hallway when it's not HIPAA type of situations. It's my kids, their family. We might have conversations in a different area, but maintaining that relationship will be very important to us.
Yeah, and maintaining that relationship, what you're mentioning, is at a greater than maybe 6 foot distance. We're going to continue to have this social distancing as a recommendation for a good amount of time. I know that we're going to be talking with another doctor in the area who is very concerned and giving guidelines on a second wave of corona potentially. And so one of his recommendations, and I think so far the government's recommendations are going to be still, yeah, we're going to be starting to open up some businesses, but we still want to socially distance. And that's going to be a very interesting thing outside of this office, let alone in the office.
So, Jeff, if we see someone prioritizing incorrectly, what should be our first thought when we see that happening?
Oh, I think we need to have a picnic.
What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean we're throwing a party. Aubrey Daniels was very, very a well-written author. And one of the things that he tried to stress in performance management was to be positive, immediate, and certain with your feedback to your people, or negative, immediate, and certain with the feedback. So that's why I kind of coined the phrase internally where we say, hey, they didn't follow your instructions. Well, better have a picnic, because it's important that we give some feedback right away. If you see somebody acting outside of the, oh, I just needed to rush them through and I didn't have time to be courteous. No, we need to have a little bit of a redirection, don't we? It might be negative. See, you didn't act in concert with what's really important to us as the values of our practice. I understand why you want to go a little bit more efficiently for that particular patient, but you can't skimp on the being courteous, and you can't skimp on the relationship and the experience the patient's going to have. And me providing that on an immediate basis and being very certain. See, when you were with David Zimmerman as a patient and you said, oh, we can bypass all of this, that's not important, here, follow me, and you weren't courteous to them or you didn't enhance the experience, see, you violated the hierarchy of service delivery that we have. You were safe, yes, but you put efficiency before those other things. So I'm giving you, as a staff member, whenever I can, a very immediate and certain behavior that I would have liked to have seen delivered differently. In this case, it was negative, so it's a nick. In other cases, and we try really, really hard to catch people doing those right things. Hampton Inn, or the Hampton Inn type of hotels used to have a catch us doing something right campaign for a while, which is really a positive, immediate, and certain. If a guest says, wow, what a great experience. The person cleaning my room went overboard to do this or that. Hampton wanted to know so that they could say, David Zimmerman, when he stayed here last night, this guest, he told us you did a great job. That's impactful. It means a lot more than going, hey, Jane, you know, in general, you clean rooms well. And that's a very important thing that we need to catch our people doing things right. But occasionally we're going to need to catch them doing things wrong. And we need to be immediate as we can and very certain as we can, not vague and not, you know, 2 months ago, you weren't very nice to a patient. So that's why we try to have picnics, and we try to train our managers to have picnics anytime we can with our team.
So in our offices, where or how do we accomplish this type of training for alignment?
I think most importantly, it's training your managers to be aligned and have that type of outlook. They need to know what is most important. I know you got a mission statement. I know you have a vision statement. We have goals. We have beliefs and behaviors, how we're supposed to act. But catching people and managing them to say, you're really doing a great job each and every time with this particular patient. You see the way that you behaved, how it matches what's important in our service hierarchy. That's where the real power comes. What do you get a lot? Sometimes with your great people, they'll go, well, that's, of course, it's just the way to be. But you know what? They're great people because that just comes natural for them, or because they've become ingrained in the culture and they're people you can trust to act on your behalf in the right way, following the service hierarchy all of the time. So I think the first way that that happens is with good management. Us making sure our managers know what good management looks like, and then our managers having picnics with their team and their staff. Collectively, we try to train at staff meetings because, as you know, staff meeting training is a part of every staff meeting that we have weekly, but also when we have everybody together. That's our time to prioritize the important things, and at strategic reviews or at gap reviews, when we have everybody together of all of the offices, it's a good opportunity for us to train on things that are really fundamental, really important, and a service hierarchy may be one of those things.
From the time I started, I noticed that we have staff meeting training every week as a normal and expected part of the meeting. Who decides on that training schedule?
You know, when we were smaller, historically, I did. But as we mature and grow, better decisions are made when they become outside of just me making them. And so it gradually moved to me and Katie as administrator. And as you know, when we're looking at our strategic plans and process for the year, when we have most important strategic goals to accomplish, our training needs to coincide and complement those goals. So gradually, and maybe not so gradually, that's kind of moving to you and Katie as you set up operationally what's important for us in our offices. So while we have a schedule for the rest of the year, 52 weeks of training at every staff meeting, except for Christmas, Thanksgiving, things like that, we can change that on occasion if it's important enough to take one thing out and start to build in all of our strategically most important training parts. And so there are parts of every single year where we're always going to cover the fundamentals, our service hierarchy, our beliefs and behaviors, what our mission is about, and how we act in concert with that mission so that people can really connect it. Connecting it's what's really important. Yeah, you can talk about it, but when I connect a person's behavior with what's on the wall in a mission, oh, now I get it. Wow, this really is important to you, Dr. Zimmerman. So talking about it in staff meetings, prioritizing what we train on is a really important thing. And that's gradually becoming more of your and Katie's responsibility, isn't it, as you take on more of the strategic implementation?
It is, and it's nice to see as you do all these trainings, then people start embodying the training themselves and focusing on safety, focusing on the hierarchy and the priorities themselves, and it kind of manifests itself. It's nice to see.
You want to have more of that comfort, don't you? That when you're in your office working on a chart and three phones are ringing and somebody's being surgically counseled and six patients are being seen in the office by other doctors, that each and every person, you don't want to have to be worrying about what's going on. And part of your comfort level comes from hiring great people, but training them well to act on our behalf in alignment with the values and the vision that you have, so that you can be concentrating on the patient that you're taking care of by telehealth or on the chart right then, right? That's how you are able to provide more care, but consistent and aligned care for more people.
So tell me about the book.
Yep, the book. Well, first of all, the service hierarchy is one of the lessons and one of the chapters in the book. We're looking at the book coming out in May at this time. Obviously, this is just but one of those lessons that we try to talk about. It's obviously called One Patient at a Time, the K2 Way for healthcare and business success, or the K2 Way playbook for implementing healthcare and business success. So we're looking forward to that. I think that should be a helpful adjunct in us stressing this to our staff, and we hope that it will help other teams in other businesses, particularly in healthcare and in eye care, to be able to go lesson by lesson and say, how are we doing this? Are we doing this well? For instance, in this case, the hierarchy of service. Do we have that? How do our staff members make a decision, and is it consistent with what I want, and have I communicated to them what our values are, and when faced with two right situations, which is going to trump the other? Safety is going to trump efficiency. Safety is going to trump even being courteous. Being courteous is going to trump efficiency in our office. Being courteous is going to trump the patient experience. The patient experience is going to trump efficiency most of the time. Now, do we want everybody to leave with a great experience? Yes, we do. But it builds. You make a safe environment. You provide it safe for the patients, for the staff. You're courteous to people. Staff member to staff member. Patient to staff member to patient. And I do expect that that's a mutual thing. I expect our patients to be courteous to us. But you build that over time. Everybody has a good experience. That's really what we want. That's what drives the business. It's those so many people that you go, oh, I can't wait to see him. I saw him last year, right? Very few of those, oh my gosh, that person's coming in again. because those people just don't feel comfortable around here. I expect mutual respect. And sometimes I have to talk to patients about, you can be frustrated, but if you want to yell and scream at somebody, make sure you yell and scream at me, not at our staff member. Because you know what? We believe in this mutual respect. We believe in being courteous to each other. And that goes both ways. All right? So let's keep it in line. Yell at me someplace else if something's not going right, but don't yell at my team, right? So little things like that, we talk about how you manage those, how those come up in the book in different lessons, and I'm hoping that the playbook will be really, really helpful.
Well, Jeff, this has been a very enlightening discussion, a basic point yet often overlooked in many businesses.
I think so, but in these times of COVID-19, it kind of takes you back to what's really most important, doesn't it?
More than ever.
Yeah, more than ever. So I appreciate the good questions, David. We kind of turn the tables a little bit here, and usually I'm the interviewer, and I might be, you know, trying to tap your expertise as the interviewee, but you asked me a few more than I asked you in this one.
Sometimes I like putting you on the spot. What do we have up? What do we have coming up next time?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the lessons in the book. We're going to talk more about COVID in the future. We're going to have people meet our team and what they do around here. We're going to talk, obviously, an awful lot about eye health, about contact lens wear, about laser and cataract surgery, about the subtleties of fashion, optics when it comes to picking glasses, and a whole lot new about how we can protect, correct, and enhance people's vision, which fundamentally is our goal in rendering a great experience for patients. So I look forward to talking with you some more, David.
Thank you.